Good morning, everybody. And for those who don't know me, my name's David. I'm one of the ministry team here, DPC. Today we're starting a new series in the lead up to Christmas, which is titled Something Missing. And today we're going to be looking at disconnection, those missing relationships. At Christmas, we can find real connection, real relationships are something that a lot of people are missing. Particularly this year, when nearly all of us have had a certain amount of disconnection due to COVID. People will be longing to see those friends and family that they still can't get to. In fact, at Christmas, a lot of people feel alone, disconnected, isolated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we're going to look at missing or sometimes what appear to be distant relationships. Father, we know that you want us to have a close relationship with you. So help us see what might get in the way of that and how we might come to be closer to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said today, I want to look at those missing or disconnected relationships, to see that God is with us, to have a look at how, and even when we feel disconnected or alone, longing for a real connection and relationship, God has never intended to be distant or disconnected with us. He's always wanted a close and warm relationship with us. We will see that God is with us. We're going to look at 3 points. What we're missing, how does Jesus connect us to God, and what does this mean for us? So let's have a look at the first point. What are we missing? Back in the 1980s, my family was a very separated one. My mother and father were divorced and both remarried. My dad lived in Sydney. My mother was on the Gold Coast. My oldest brother was in Canada. My other brother was in Casino in New South Wales, and I was in Cobar in New South Wales. Now, I worked out that I was 8 hours away from Dad, 11 hours from John at Casino, and 12 hours away from Mum. And Google Maps just couldn't even work out how far I was away from Peter in Alberta in Canada. So with distances like this, most of our family relationships was done by phone. We didn't get together for Christmas that year. Anyway, Peter came home from Canada and was living in Sydney. But by that time, I'd moved to a place called Armitage in South Australia, which is about 100 kilometres south of Uluru. Extremely remote, an 8-hour drive to Alice Springs, 28-hour drive to Sydney, 32 hours to Casino, and 33 hours to the Gold Coast. And this is working on Google Maps today. In 1984, the roads around Armitage were terrible, and the Stuart Highway from the Northern Territory border down to just out of Port Augusta wasn't even sealed, and it was as rough as. There were no mobile phones then, and there probably wouldn't have been any reception anyway. Our only connection with the outside world was one radio telephone in the admin office. And I think we were allowed to make one personal call a week unless it was an emergency. We were very disconnected from the outside world. Armitage was a community of 250 people. We'd have a truck come through every 2 weeks with fresh food. And I even looked forward to going out to the airstrip to pick up the police every fortnight. I didn't see my family for 3 years. And now I think some of you probably think that's not a bad thing. Well, I eventually moved to Gunnedah in northern New South Wales, which put me much closer to my family. And we started seeing each other again. We were able to have face-to-face personal relationships once more. We could enjoy each other's company. Now, there's probably a lot of people throughout the world who have similar isolation from loved ones this year? I say there could be a number of you here today who have been isolated from family and friends due to COVID. And this is probably worse than in my case, because it was our choices to live so far apart from each other. But this year's been different, hasn't it? My brother John now lives in Sydney, so I didn't want to go down there and see him and spend 2 weeks in quarantine when I came back. And I imagine a lot of you are in the same boat, feeling isolated and disconnected. But we're trying to keep those relationships going however we can. We can phone, we can email, we have Facebook, FaceTime, and much more. The thing is, we try to keep up relationships with family and friends, regardless of what's going on. And these days, we're always connected. We try hard to stay connected, and even when we're apart, we're only a phone call away. Now, it's the same with God, or even more so. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to be connected with us. God doesn't want to be distant from us. God wants to be with us. Like when we're feeling isolated, disconnected, alone with strained relationships, God's there. He wants to offer connection and relationship like no other. He wants to know people. And we can see in Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 to 8, God didn't choose Israel as his chosen people because they were the mightiest nation on earth, but because he'd made a promise with their forefathers. He'd made a covenant with them, and he wanted to keep that relationship with them. Here's what it says. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, King of Egypt. We can see here that God wants a relationship with his people. He's chosen them because he loves them, and because he's had that relationship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their forefathers. It was a close relationship, not distant. They wanted, or he wanted them to rely on him. But through the years, Israel forgot this relationship from time to time, and God seemed to become more distant to them. In Psalm 10, verse 1, it says, "Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble?" He even stopped sending his prophets to tell them what he wants them to do. In Psalm 74, verse 9, it says, "We've given no sign from God. No prophets are left, and none of us knows how long this will be." Are we like the Israelites? Do you feel distant from God? Is your relationship with God a distant one? Does your relationship with God even exist? But even though he was silent for so long, God knew he'd have to do something to bring people back into a relationship that he wanted. Do something so that people would know him. We can see in Isaiah 7:14, he had a plan. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God's going to change this. He's going to do something so people can know him. He's going to add another dimension to his relationship with us. And if you look at the back at the reading we just had in Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23, we can see God is going to fulfill that promise he made in Isaiah. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus is born. God is with us. The God who was, or at least seemed, far off, has come near in Jesus. He's entered creation as a human, so that we could live and dwell, so he could live and dwell and connect with humanity. And that brings us to our second point. How does Jesus connect us to God? How does Jesus being born a man change our relationship with God? How did Jesus being on earth change that? Have you ever seen those movies where someone's going to be received by the king or queen? They don't just walk up, knock on the door and go, "Hello, I'm here." There's usually someone there to tell them where to go and what to do, so they don't make a fool of themselves and do the wrong thing. Someone to help smooth the way connecting to the monarch. When Jesus comes as God's Messiah, he's come to show humanity how to know God in the flesh. He spends years showing people the kingdom of God has come and showing them how to know God as King. Jesus wants to show people how to have a relationship with God. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. The son wants his inheritance now. Father gives it to him. Son spends all his inheritance and is worse off than the pigs he's tending. He realizes he'd be better off as a servant of his father and returns home. What does Dad do? He welcomes him with open arms and throws a party for him. The relationship is restored. While Jesus also spends time teaching on how we are to live, he's really come to connect us with God, to restore our relationship with him that's been broken by sin. And how is it that we can really know God, our Creator? How can we have a relationship with the God of the universe that's real and satisfying and never fails, even when our human relationships do? How does he do this? Well, what is the main thing that's getting in the way of our relationship? What is it that stops us being able to know God? What stops us from being part of his kingdom? It's our sin, isn't it? It's those things that upset God. Our lying, gossip, putting other things in the centre of our lives other than him, and many, many more things. Throughout the Old Testament, we see that it's the people's sin that gets in the way of their relationship with God, as it is with us. But Jesus has sorted that out for us, hasn't he? He's dealt with our sin so that we can know God. Jesus was crucified so our sins could be forgiven. It really brings us it home to us how important God considers our relationship with him. How great must his love be for us to willingly have Jesus die for us so that we could have a chance of having our relationship renewed with him? How many of us would send our only child as a sacrifice for someone who has continually done the wrong thing by us? God did. Jesus went to the cross knowing the pain and humility that he was going to endure. He did this knowing that this was the only way to bridge the gap in our relationship with God. How much must God love us that he's willing to send his only son, Jesus, to die so we can have our sins forgiven? And I think there are probably times we think we're not worth it. But God thinks we are. We can see that Jesus came to earth to connect us to God and restore our relationship with him. And that brings us to our third point. What does it mean for us? Well, when I was living in Armitage, I was a long way from my family. I was actually a long way from anywhere. But being away from my family for so long, I sometimes found I wasn't thinking about them. They weren't as sharp in my memory. They were becoming distant. And maybe you've had this at some time in your life. Or maybe you've felt this much more this year, as you've not been able to see some of your loved ones due to the virus. Have some of your relationships become distant? Do you know God, but sometimes he just feels distant? Or maybe you don't know God. You feel he's distant, irrelevant, and unattainable. If there is a good God, he couldn't possibly care about you. Maybe for Christians, it feels that way with our relationship with God. Jesus hasn't been here for 2,000 years. God's too big to want a relationship with me. Let's have a look at what it says in John 14, 15 to 21. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. We can see here that Jesus is not going to leave us alone. He sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, so we won't be alone. When we ask for salvation, the Holy Spirit is given to us to live within us. But if you look at that verse, it even gets better. Jesus says that he is in us, and he says that he is in the Father. So if we're in Jesus and he's in us, we must be with the Father. And that really shows an intimate relationship. God not distant, not far off. God wanting to build a stronger, lasting relationship, a close and an intimate relationship with us. You might have noticed I've spent nearly all this time talking about how God is working on and developing this relationship with us. How in particular, through Jesus, he's doing this. It would seem like God's doing all the work. Well, he is. There's nothing we can do. No works, nothing. But we can accept God's outstretched hand. We can accept God's salvation by grace. So if you're a Christian, what is your relationship with God? Is it close or is it distant? If it's distant, what's causing it? Is sin driving a wedge in it? Do you think God is just too big to be wanting a close relationship with you? God knows all about you. In Luke 12, 7, it says this, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." God even knows the number of hairs on our head. And for some of us, that's not too hard. But he knows everything about you. And he wants you to know more and more about him. Or is this what may frighten you off from knowing God, for having that close relationship with him? That he does know everything about you. And that may just frighten you a little bit, or a lot. You just have to remember that if you ask for salvation in Jesus' name, by God's grace, it will be granted. We all sin. We've all done things we're not proud of. But God's forgiveness is vast, and because he wants that close relationship with us. But what about if you don't have a relationship with God at all? Why not? God's holding his hand out to you as well. He wants to know you. He wants to offer you his love and friendship. He wants to know you. He wants to be your God. He wants to know you intimately and forever. So what's holding you back? The same reasons I mentioned before. God's too big to be bothered about with you. I'm not good enough. Well, once again, God is offering you salvation through grace. And he wants to build that relationship with you. And if you don't know God and you don't realize God is with us, then I'm sure there are plenty of people here who would love to tell you about him. And I just keep thinking about John 14, verse 20. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. That sounds like a wonderful, close and personal relationship. In Jesus, God offers you a close, intimate relationship with him. Better than any other. When we know Jesus, we know God. We're never alone, isolated, or disconnected. Our God, Jesus, the Emmanuel, is with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful are we that you sent Jesus to be with us, and through him we can know you, know that you love us and care for us. You aren't a distant God. You're here with us. You want a close and intimate relationship with us. And because of Jesus, the barrier of our sins will not get in the way. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.